Hello and welcome to this week's Health and Self-Care podcast. I'm Dr. Peter Bagshaw, GP in Somerset, and I'm delighted to be joined by my friend and colleague,
Dr. Andrew Treseda, also a Somerset doctor.
Now, normally, the two of us, and with Kate as well, will have an expert or more experts, but we don't need one this week because Andrew is our expert on today's topic, which is living well as the years go by. So, Andrew, where do you want to go with this? This is a fascinating topic, and I know you're a great expert in all sorts of areas, but I'd be delighted to hear your thoughts on this.
Thank you, Peter. And just a disclaimer first, I have a great interest in many things, but I learned the definition of an expert many years ago. X is an unknown quantity and a spurt is a drip under pressure. So I'm not sure I'm an expert on anything at all, but certainly interested in living well as the years go by.
And I must admit, we both have a bit of skin in the game on this, don't we? So where do you want to start?
Well, I've met the most fascinating man the other day called Muir Gray, or Sir Muir Gray, who was a public health doctor in Scotland and wrote the most charming and fun book called Sod 70, The Guide to Living Well. And I'd like to sort of take us on a bit of a canter through some of the things he says. Anyway, what would you like to ask me? Or I ask you a question? What is aging, and is it the same as getting older?
No, absolutely not. So all these interesting apps, aren't they, that show you your biological age, and some of them are nonsense and some of them are useful. But it's certainly true that although aging will catch up with all of us at some stage, we can put it off. And I think we're all concerned that although our life expectancy is increasing, the number of years where we're living well isn't necessarily. So I'm interested in living well rather than just existing. So you've got a list of things that will help us do that, Andrew. I'm delighted that a Dr. Gray is the expert on aging. There's up to
there's an irony
nominative
there.
Determinism there, isn't there?
Indeed. I think probably the first thing that we all need to remember is you can't take anything for granted in life. Most of us, or many of us, have been in a vehicle, been in a car or driven a car, and been on a journey, and we are grateful to reach the end of the journey. Most of us who are the drivers of those vehicles remember to maybe not check the tyres every week or the oil every day, but we certainly want to make sure our fuel tank is full. We pay attention to our vehicle. We look after the vehicle to make sure it gets us to our destination to a greater or lesser extent. One of the problems about health, which sort of moves into aging as the years go by, is that we can so often take our health for granted. Peter, I don't know what your experience of that is, or amongst people that you know or patients over the years.
Yes, that's absolutely right, Andrew. And again, to continue your analogy, we can do all of those things and make sure the things within our control are improved. But of course, we can still be unlucky and have a truck come out of us at 70 miles an hour, and however good our tyres, that's yeah. It. So there is this random element as well. I wouldn't want us to feel that we can all live to 80 or 90 with the right lifestyle, but we can stack the odds in our favor, can't we?
We can, absolutely. So Muir Gray's book Sod 70 is great. So he says, on aging is not the cause of problems in your 70s unless you think it is, unless you think it's in control of your health and well-being. And so he's very much about taking control. And we can take our control ourselves. I say we because perhaps you and I are moving that way at the moment. But we can take our control by reducing our risk of developing disease by becoming fitter, and whether or not we have a long-term condition, and by adopting a positive and more optimistic attitude to life, its problems and its opportunities. And I think all of those are so important. Lucy Pollock, who we interviewed some months or years ago, in her book, The Book About Getting Older, stresses that the one intervention proven to help us stay more active as we get older, as the years go by, is actually being active. Mm-hmm. It's not a tablet. It's not a medication where the numbers needed to treat are 5 or 10 or 50 or 100. It's actually exercising where the numbers needed to treat R1.
Yes. And I know we've covered this a lot and we see it in other areas. So, for instance, exercise is as effective as an SSRI in treating depression. So it's not some nice little add-on. It's absolutely critical to things. I suppose what I'd be interested to unpack, Andrew, is what exactly we mean by that. Because I think most of us know that fitness and exercise are important, but does it mean running a marathon? Does it mean jogging? Does it mean Lycra? What does it mean?
Exercise means activity of any sort. It doesn't mean Lycra. It means multiple things. And we'll perhaps come to that a little bit later. But one of the things Muir talks about in the first place is something called the fitness gap. So if we think about our strength, our ability and our fitness, probably it reaches a peak in our late, in our 30s or maybe 40s, and then it declines slowly over the years. But there is a big difference between the best possible rate of decline, that's a slow decline, and the actual rate of decline, because if we decide that we're going to do nothing and do very little, our rate of decline from our potential is much faster than if we manage to keep active in some ways.
And the question a lot of patients ask me, and now I'll ask you, is when can we start doing that? When does it become too late?
It's never too late is the key thing. It's never too late to do some more. So if you're very inactive in later life and doing very little, just standing up and down a few times a day and walking up the stairs is enough. If, as I know from a friend who I meet at a club some weeks, he retired. He's mid-70s, retired, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, looks 10 years younger. He plays table tennis two or three times a week. He plays, he happens to play bridge, and that may sound elitist to some of us, but playing bridge is just an intellectual activity. It doesn't matter whether you do Sudoku, whether you enjoy quiz games, but keeping your mind active is so important. Mm. And I think he still referees football. So there's somebody who takes his health very seriously and probably does rather more activity than many of us. But the starting point is wherever we are now and doing something.
And in terms of mental fitness, I've heard it described that you need a variety of things. So that, for instance, if you're great at doing Sudoku, it's no good just doing more Sudoku. You have to learn a language or a musical instrument or, yes, or something completely different for your brain. Is that what Muir Gray says?
A great variety of activities for your brain is so useful and important. He mentions that aging and disease are actually different processes. And so, you know, disease prevention is important. And we need a little bit of luck. But I love the bit that he's talking about where he says that our beliefs and attitudes to health and aging are so important, because it's so easy to become despondent or to become gloomy or to expect an inevitability. I remember my grandmother, who was in her mid-80s when she got one of those alarms around her neck. Mm. And she was talking to the lady who came to fit it. So my grandmother grew up in a farmer's daughter near Exeter in Devon, and lived in the house that she got married from. She lived there from the age of 4 to the age of about 65, and then moved to a little bungalow across the road. So she didn't go very far. She ended up as the matriarch of the village and was still growing vegetables until her last year. But she asked the lady who was fitting the pendant alarm around her neck. She said, "Well, what sort of age do people get these?" You know, Nana being in her mid-80s. "Oh, any age, you know, mid-60s or 70 or 80. And how are they all?" And so the lady was telling her that, well, some people decide they're going to retire, put their feet up, and then within 2 or 3 years, there's not enough else they can do. So it's contingent upon us. It's important for us not to become a self-fulfilling prophecy, but to keep learning, keep active, keep connecting, keep doing things, and basically use it or lose it. Use it or lose it.
And on that, you mentioned about attitudes and so on. I read a paper just this last week, showing that people who are optimistic, even if it's not justified, actually have better health outcomes than people who are pessimistic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So important. Positive attitude in life, as well as good relationships and as well as having the right people around us, is so important. If we look on the gloomy side, we may attract what we are expecting. And if we look on the positive side, it certainly is good to feel that and good to be around. And what I've just said sort of sounds slightly speculative and wishy-washy, but we do know that if you evoke positive emotions in yourself, particularly wonder and awe, but gratitude, wonder and awe, and being grateful, and I'm sure smiling is one of them, we flood ourselves with positive neurochemicals. Whereas if we feel despondent and low, there will be more cortisol, there will be more other neurochemicals going around which are on the negative side, and that probably increases the aging process for the body.
And as you know, I'm the resident skeptic, and but even I've been convinced that a lot of these things that I would previously have dismissed as wishy-washy do have a biochemical underpinning and are well evidenced. So yes, absolutely, I'd concur with that. And I'd encourage our skeptical listeners to give it a try as well.
Absolutely. Staying back on the sort of the physical aspects, because there's some great things in this book. There's a great paragraph he writes here. Most of us in our age 70 or 75 can probably do everything we want to, go upstairs or bend to tie our shoelaces. But he says we all need to think ahead, because once we're in our 80s, fitness becomes of vital importance, because it can make the difference between being able to dress unaided or not, or being able to reach the toilet in time when nature calls urgently. So he's talking fairly basically, but how common sense this is.
Absolutely. So in my time at the CCG, we were asked to fund recliner chairs for people who couldn't get out of their chairs. And I argued that the money might be better spent sending round physiotherapists to teach people to strengthen their muscles so that they could actually get out of the chairs unaided.
Absolutely. He writes, is it safe to exercise? And he says that the science shows that there is no single medical condition which will be made worse by exercise of moderate intensity. Even heart disease, which when you and I trained, actually was advised to be treated by rest.
Yeah.
Initially. So exercise, stamina, fitness, so important. And whether that's walking, whether it's cycling or dancing or swimming or playing tennis or anything, it doesn't matter what it is, but 2 minutes exercise a week can help us beat aging. 30 minutes, even better, but it's just so important. Posture, he says, is really important, and we'll come back to posture in a minute. Walking with sticks is actually often quite good. Nordic walkers use good poles, and actually if you use not so much sticks but poles for your arms, it takes some of the weight off your legs, off your knees, off your hips, and it exercises the upper body as well.
Yes, whether it's absolutely,
whether it's for 3 minutes or 20 minutes.
The question of safety is really interesting, Andrew, and I'm glad you raised it, because a lot of patients raise it with me, and I've been to a talk on this, and basically the answer is to take small steps, both literally and metaphorically, that so long as we only increase our exercise by a small amount each time and gradually build up, then there is no risk to our health. It's if we've been inactive for a while and then suddenly go completely crazy that we come a cropper. Is that your understanding of the evidence?
Absolutely. Go gently, but be persistent. And have a regular walk and enjoy that. Ideally outside, and how lucky we are to live in Somerset, but outside there's various extra fixes that you get. There's a fix from nature, there's the fix from sunshine, there's the fix from the blues of the sky and the green of nature. I was a GP in Chard for many years, and I would always congratulate people on living in Chard and coming there, particularly those who retired to Chard, because it's on a hill. So you don't have to walk very far to get a lot more exercise, more bangs for your bucks, as it were.
Absolutely. And I suppose, again, thinking of people who might feel that they can't do vigorous exercise, it's worth stressing that other exercise is as good for you. So things like Tai Chi, where you're just holding position, actually gives you a really good workout, doesn't it?
It can indeed. Muir in this book says, actually, once a year, ask someone to buy you a present of going to a Pilates teaching class or Alexander technique to learn about balance. But he says, increasing your strength is easy. And there's a lovely bit here, a lovely sentence. With a bit of luck, a clever friend will have given you some fitness activity, some fitness equipment for your 70th birthday. But if not, consider buying two items to increase and maintain muscle strength. So a pair of dumbbells, even just a kilogram one. And I suppose if I were thinking about dumbbells, I'd probably pick up a bag of sugar from the from the larder instead, and use that, and a resistance band, which you can use to pull arm and feet away. And he says balance is absolutely important, because as we get older, our sense of balance gets worse, our inner ear deteriorates, sometimes due to medication, but it's part of the process that does age. Muscles get weaker and can't quickly recover the vertical position. We lose the ability to coordinate all those actions that work together to steady ourselves if we trip or stumble. And of course, there's hazards in the environment, such as loose floor coverings or poor lighting. So balance, absolutely vitally important to do that.
Can I throw in a bit of good news?
Yes.
And it's triggered by something David, our producer, has put in the chat about being overfit. So you're right, absolutely, from my reading, that doing small amounts of exercise gives huge benefits, but it then tends to flatten off. And in fact, if you overdo it, if you become an ultra-marathon runner, the health benefits reverse, and you can actually do harm as well as good. So we're not asking people to go completely the other way on this, are we?
Absolutely not. Muir Gray says, plan your daily 10 minutes triple S program. And the three S's are for strength, suppleness, and skill. Daily 10 minutes. And he says, at age 70, 10 minutes every day, 70 minutes a week. And so that's either 14 minutes five times a week or six of 12. And when you're 71, go on to a 71-minute program. And when you're 72, go on to a 70-minute program, 72-minute program. And when you're 80, you'll be doing 11 minutes a day on 4 days of the week and 12 minutes on 3 days of the week.
Yeah. Well, it's good to know. Most of us can spare 10 minutes in the day, can't we? Whereas some of the goals, I think, are unrealistic. And I know there's been a recent debunking of the 10,000 steps that were always, I think, only came about because of a certain app that measured it. In the first place. So we don't have to do marathons, do we?
We certainly don't. He talks about upper body strength, and there are various exercises for that. Core body strength, strong feet and legs. And there are various exercises, which I suppose they are probably activities that most 2, 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, as they run around, get automatically. I mean, if you ever want to watch good posture, look at a small child. They bend down, they leap up and down, they move, and they look after their bodies very well. We who are older have often sat too long in chairs, driven vehicles for too long, and lost a lot of good habits of using our bodies wisely. And so when that happens, a lot of tension can arise, both in the midline muscles. We can lose core strength, and our hamstrings get tighter because we sit too long. So there are some great exercises in here. I'm not going to try and describe them. I don't think I'd do that particularly well, except that I would like to talk about spine maintenance. So what does he say about spine maintenance? Our spine is designed to carry the skull and the limbs in three beautiful curves. The cervical spine, the neck, which curves forwards. The thoracic spine, the chest, which curves backwards. And the lumbar spine, lower back, curving forwards. And unfortunately, for many of us, years or decades of life are spent with the spine in a single ugly curve, with the head poking forwards and driving, or sitting in meetings, or lounging on a sofa. All of those lead to the stooping spine. And so he's got various hints, which I'd love to run through, if I may, on how to avoid these from the age of 70. So firstly, go to a Pilates or Alexander Technique class at least once or several times, or look for some videos on it. He advises adjusting your car seat so you can sit straight with the head against the headrest and a small cushion behind your lower back if required. If you work at a desk, find a surface at the right height and work at your keyboard standing up, and then do some leg muscles, leg exercises while you're doing that. And some stretching exercises, and he talks about the starfish. Lie flat on your back on the floor. Stretch your arms out sideways, elbows on the carpet, and see if you could put your backs of your hands on the carpet and hold for 10 seconds and repeat at least 5 times. And this just makes so much sense, because you and I will have seen many people, friends, family, colleagues, patients, who, as the years go by, they do seem to stoop and that head goes forwards and the shoulders go forwards. And number of causes, but long posture, sitting or slouching or other, and loss of strength of core spinal muscles.
Absolutely. And in some people, obviously, osteoporotic collapse, that is a separate thing. But I'm delighted that you've told us that exercise is possible without going to the gym, without lots of expensive material and equipment. You mentioned videos, and I'd add Joe Wicks videos that are sort of 15 minutes ago, and using no equipment at all, just our own weight to go through these things. So it's there, and I'd encourage people to give it a try and start small and work up. Where would you like to take us next, Andrew?
Well, I think there's just so much great in this book. I really would advise his Sod 70, and also his most recent book published called The Walking Cure. But achieving well-being is an attitude as well. We can define ourselves by the number that we are, but actually it's far more important that we take the age that we are with a pinch of salt and just get on and achieve what we want to in life. To define ourselves rather than let ourselves be defined. We're so often defined by role or other people's expectations. And it's just important to pursue what we want to. You mentioned earlier music and languages. There are people who do open university degrees in their 70s and 80s. There are people who choose to learn a new language or learn an instrument. All of this. Any activity like this, which is stretching the brain, which is helping what Hercule Poirot would call the little grey cells to work more vigorously and to remain in quantity, has to be good for us.
Yes, and of course there's a specific U3A, University of the Third Age, for people to continue learning in older age. I should just caveat, by the way, for our readers, that although I agree with taking it with a pinch of salt, maybe not too many pinches of salt, otherwise it might put our blood pressure up.
The sodium can be a problem. The connection, you've mentioned U3A, connection with other people is so important. Social connection for the great majority of us is something that helps keep us young and helps keep us active and gives us purpose. And those people with purpose seem to enjoy every day more than some of us who sometimes, for whatever reason, feel that life is either passing us by or taking us in a direction that we don't necessarily want to go.
Absolutely. And it's one of the major determinants of risk for dementia, for instance, where social isolation is as harmful as many of the other diseases that predispose to it. So a really important factor.
I think we come back to the five ways to well-being. Connect with other people. Connect with other people. Give. Take notice. Learn. And be active.
Brilliant.
And that applies at any age.
Yes, absolutely.
And all ages.
Absolutely. Yes. it's which famous person said it's not the man in your life, it's the life in your man. It's all about positive mental attitude, isn't it? So we're running out of time, Andrew. Is there anything you want to leave us with? I think in some ways your five ways are probably a good way of rounding off. But if you can summarize what you've said for our listeners.
I'm very grateful to be able to talk about this topic because it applies to all of us. I'd just like to just give a plug for Muir Gray's book, Sod 70, which I've been borrowing from helped inspire our presentation in this podcast. His new book, Dr. Gray's Walking Cure, and Lucy Pollock's book, The Book About Getting Older. We should all have a read of these, and you don't have to buy them. You can get them from the public library, but it is fun to have your own copy.
Well, if we're plugging books, perhaps you'd like to plug your own, which is available, which gives lots of interesting hints to people.
Thanks very much, Peter. Health and Self-Care for Health Professionals. It's on www.healthandself.care. And I'm just about to go into another print run, which is version 1.7. Minor alterations only. Same eye as the end.
Wonderful. And we better stress, you don't make several pounds from each copy sold, do you?
I make nothing from each copy sold. And it's a free download from the web.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Well, that's been really useful. I hope it's inspired some of our listeners to go out and stay young and do things gradually, but do them. So thank you very much, Andrew. Go well, everyone. I'll leave the last word to you.
Thank you, Peter, for being a great interviewer. And thank you to our listeners. And thank you for coming and listening to the Health and Self-Care podcast.